sometimes by word and sometimes just by seeing your faces, we're here to remind each other that God is good and all the time. Thank you. Real quickly, some brief announcements. We have our first Royal Family Kids Camp is going to be leaving next Sunday, which is a huge deal for our church, about 75 folks or so that are heading down to care for children at a residential camp that are in the foster system. And we are having a welcome home dinner on Friday afternoon, and there's still a little bit of help if you want to participate in that way in the camp, if you're not already and want to help do the meal on Friday. We would love to have you. There's a tear off in your bulletin. You can rip that off and check a box. One other quick thing, and then Glenn, you want to work your way out. We have a new singles ministry that could begin in our church. If you're interested in helping that or being a part of it, there's also a box on the tear off if you want to check that. Glenn Machowski, if you could share with us, please.
I've got 90 seconds. They only give me 90 seconds to talk about SALT. So SALT is the sound and light team. So rather than explain what SALT means to you every Sunday morning at minimum, this is what happens if the guys in the booth don't show up. Go ahead. Thanks, guys. So if you're interested in audio, in computer, in video, it takes at least two people back there for the traditional services every Sunday, three for contemporary service at least, although we have more than that here this morning. We got Jim Gere and Carl Jello are back there this morning. They're faithful. In fact, they were here at 8:15 as well, okay? And sometimes they stick around to help us get rolling with the following service as well. And they're here 52 weeks a year. Nothing ever changes. But it's more than just what you see up here live on Sunday morning. Hannah Buxton, one of our high school youth, is Hannah here this morning? Does our PowerPoints. So this PowerPoint running up here, Hannah put together last night, put it in Dropbox, and so the guys could find it this morning to have this announcement loop for you. And Lloyd Stinson, I saw Lloyd. Now, Lloyd is not a high school youth, if you know Lloyd. Lloyd is part of the team as well because Lloyd picks up MP3 files that we record every service with, takes them home to his computer, breaks them out, and posts them to the internet for podcasts. And if you haven't used the podcast and you've missed a couple of weeks of the Psalm 23rd Psalm series, that's where you want to go to hear that series. So there's a lot of to do, and I got to tell you that it will impact your life if you do this. It certainly has mine. Being involved in worship each and every week, weekend and week out, surrounded by this team of people that we are, they've held me up in times of difficulty. I know my prayer life has improved. I know that God has found things for me to do that I had no idea were on my plate that He had waiting for me. So we're here at any time. You can ask those guys in the booth or call the church office at any time. They'll tell you how to help. Thanks.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks to you, gentlemen and ladies, for all you do for us. It's been said that there are these two most important days of your life, the day that you're born and then the day that you find out why you were born. Now, you did really well on the first. You did. You're here. You made it. You were through a struggle, weren't you, on your birthday? And you celebrate that every year as it comes up. And then maybe this morning, really on a sleepy summer morning in Northeast Ohio, it could be that you overhear a whisper of maybe a part of the dream of God to share with you about why you were born. Welcome to worship. As we bow to pray this morning, there are prayer requests that are already in your bulletin, prayer needs. I'll give you a quiet moment to lift your own concerns as well as to lift some of those that you see on that page before you. If we are with you, God, then nothing else really matters. If we are not with you, God, then really nothing else matters. We pray on this day not to offer you just our will and our agenda and to tell you what you ought to be doing, but maybe on this Sunday we open our will and heart and deeper and more meaningful ways where we can overhear your great heart for this world that you love. Help us to listen. Help us to be receptive and open, and help us to praise you and express our deep dependence on you. Find fresh forgiveness. Be washed with the things of reality, and to rest in your unmerited, undeserved, never to be paid back kind of love. We offer to you now our requests of our own hearts, as well as these things mentioned and in our bulletin. We know you hear us, and we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. In the name of the Good Shepherd who came to teach us to pray, we offer this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you. Please be seated. I'd like to invite you one more time in an attitude of prayer as we open up today's scripture. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we call on the power of your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts today and plant the seed of hope, protection, and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the midst of our sermon series on the 23rd Psalm, so hear these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. In today's verse, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The promise of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today I'd like to talk about the two things that is mentioned in our scripture today, thy rod and thy staff. Before a young boy can take on the task of tending his father's flock, he's assigned a task. He has to go out into the wilderness and find a tender tree, a sapling tree that will fit his body match. That will be a good fit for him. So he goes and out into the wilderness, and he's charged with finding this tree, and he has to dig it up and bring it back home. And after he has carefully dug it up and brought it back home, he begins the process of whittling it to fit his hand. And so he cuts it to size, and he whittles it down and puts a little bevel on the end, so as he's walking along, he can always slide it down and it won't slip out of his hand. It's a little bevel, and it just fits perfectly for him. And then once he gets the handle part done, he starts working on the base, and the base is where the root was. And he carefully starts carving that and whittling it away, and it's the heart. It is actually the hardest part of the tree. So hard that it nobody volunteered to let me hit them with them. This is what a rod would have been. And so now he's made a rod, which is his weapon, okay? But now it doesn't stop there. He has to practice with it and become lethal with it, if you will. So the practice begins, and they practice by throwing it at objects. Matter of fact, they used to have competitions to see which shepherd had the best accuracy and power behind their throw. And sometimes they would throw it overhand, but oftentimes they would throw it underhand. Now I'm talking some serious power and speed here. I play on the men's softball team, and it's slow pitch, right? I have no problem hitting those balls. I cannot imagine stepping up to the plate to some of these collegiate athletes who pitch fast pitch underhand. there's no way I could hit it. I'd be afraid. But anyway, these shepherds, they would compete. They would take a stone tablet and they would place it somewhere and they would back count off 10 spaces and practice throwing it to see who could hit the stone tablet and break it. And if everybody did it at 10 paces, they'd back up at 20 and so on until they had one person that could throw it the farthest with the most distance and power. So it becomes an extension of their right hand, providing protection to the sheep. You can see where a sheep, if he knows his shepherd that is really good with this, can find comfort in that. Now, maybe you might be hard to envision that, so I want to share a little story with you as I was thinking about how can I best describe this. When I was about 14, we went to Philadelphia to visit my dad's side of the family. He grew up in a small suburb just outside of Philadelphia, and it was kind of like Strongsville, very nice, very quiet, not a whole lot going on. But while we were there, we decided to go visit a cousin who lived in South Philly. Now, I don't know if you know anything about South Philly, but I got the impression that it wasn't a safe place. Every time my dad would come up to a stop sign, he wouldn't come to a complete stop. He'd just slow down and roll right through it. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? Don't you know that I'm going to be driving in a couple years? You're setting a really bad example. He says, you don't understand. You don't make a complete stop here in South Philly. You don't want to draw attention to yourself, right? You know, you see what I'm saying, right? So we stop at Frankie's house, and we're visiting there for a little bit. And then my cousin Frankie, he was my age, and he's like, he just doesn't want to be around the family. He says, I want to go to the store. So somebody in the family suggested that he take me. So we're walking down in the middle of South Philly at night, going to a 7-Eleven. We get into the 7-Eleven and we start walking around, looking at stuff. I don't even know what he's buying. And I'm like, I've got 7-Elevens at home. This is not a big deal to me. But all of a sudden, I notice his behavior changed. He starts pacing back and forth and muttering something under his breath. And I'm like, I finally go up to him and I say, what's going on, Frankie? He's like, oh, I forgot my blade. I forgot my blade. I wish I would have brought my blade. I'm like, you're what? What are you talking about? He says, oh, they're going to get me. They're going to get me. And I'm like, who's going to get you? He says, the gang. I look outside out the window and there's 20 kids out there waiting on us. Okay, so fear comes over me, right? I don't know what we're going to do. This was before cell phones and texting and all of that stuff. We're on our own. And all of a sudden, Frankie says, let's make a run for it. And I'm like, okay. I'm not a track star, but I'm sure I could run really fast that day. So we try to make a run for it, and we didn't make it. And the kids circle up, and they've got Frankie in the middle, and their gang leader in the middle with him. And I'm kind of in the background, and I kind of step in the perimeter of the circle, and I have a gang member on my left and a gang member on my right, and the gang member on the right looks at me. He's like, you know this guy? I said, yeah, he's my cousin. I'm from Ohio. He's like, oh, okay, you're no problem. He could see the fear in my eye, right? So, you know, it was in that moment that I thought, I wish my superhero was here. Now, my superhero at the time was Bruce Lee. Anybody remember Bruce Lee? He was like the world's best martial artist. And I was thinking in preparing for today, I was like, man, if Bruce Lee would have been there with a bow staff is like a broomstick. But in the hands of Bruce Lee, it could be lethal, even at a distance, right? If I had Bruce Lee there with a bow staff, I would find comfort. I would know that I would be protected. Now notice I didn't say I just wanted the bow staff. Because the bow staff in my hands, well, may as well have been a broom handle about that long. But in the hands of a master, it can become a lethal weapon. Just like the rod in the hands of a shepherd who had practiced their whole life, it can become a lethal weapon providing protection to a sheep. And a sheep finds comfort in that. So that's number one, a rod provides protection. Second of all, a rod provides direction. Direction. Now, how it provides direction is, okay, imagine you're a sheep and you're in the lush valley and you've been there most of the summer. But now, summer's drawing midway and you've grazed the field literally to death. There's no more food. But sheep are stubborn. They want to stay there, right? I think humans can be just as stubborn. But we'll get to that in a minute. But a good shepherd knows that he has to give the sheep direction and lead them to higher elevations where greener pastures await. So a good shepherd will take the rod and kind of move them along. Or if, for example, a sheep wanders off and is in the midst of finding something dangerous, like a poisonous weed or facing a hidden predator, the shepherd may take the rod and throw it to get the sheep's attention, to drive it back to the flock. So we're talking about the second purpose of the rod, using it to create direction for the sheep. Now, if you've been a member of this church for 10 years or more, you've felt that nudging from the rod of God, nudging you to move from Pearl Road to here. That takes a huge amount of faith to change locations, right? But you did it. You received that direction from God, and you moved to here. But that's not the end of the journey. God's not done. He's got a bigger and better adventure awaiting. You know, Pastor Dave mentioned in the beginning of the service that we're getting ready to go to Royal Family Kids Camp. It's just over a week away. And I'm here to tell you that that's a new direction for this church. That's a direction that some people may not want to go. It's a direction that's going to lead 75 people to a place where they're dealing with kids that may be from gangs. It might be like the gang members. And we're not there to give them direction or to correct them or anything like that. We're just there to love them. It's going to be an adventure of a lifetime, and I'm so excited that God is leading us in a new direction. And that's just one of them. So we have protection, and now we have direction. We have one more thing, and that's a close inspection. Has anybody here ever been to a county fair? Raise your hand if you have. What goes on at a county fair? They have livestock judging, right? So in the livestock judging, especially with the sheep, that's where the rod comes into play, okay? Because sheep, like if you're preparing a sheep for a contest like that, it's easy to like fluff the wool up and dye any imperfections and use a shearer to shape it just right. So from a distance, it looks perfect, right? But a good judge, he'll take his rod and he'll inspect the sheep, and it's called called going under the rod, leading the sheep under the rod of inspection. And what a good shepherd will do is he'll use that rod to sit there and separate the wool, to look below the surface, to find any imperfections, to find diseases, to find things that shouldn't be there. You know, for us humans, we have a really good tendency of an ability to fluff up our wool so it looks perfect on the outside, do we not? I mean, we hide stuff and we don't want the world to see, let alone God. Yet, in today's scripture, thy rod is the word of God. It is the word of God. And in the psalmist writes, in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. You know, when we open up the rod, the word of God, and start to look at what God writes in his love letter to us. There's a tendency for us to open up our hearts and allow God, allow ourselves to pass under that rod, to allow our whole being under the keenful eye of God. And so in those moments, God looks at those imperfections. He looks at the wounds or the burdens that we carry, right? And he plucks them. Because as good of a job as we can do on the outside to make ourselves look perfect, what God wants is to make us perfect from the inside out, right? So now let's move on to the staff. This is the other instrument that a shepherd will use. And it's, out of all the livestock, only a sheep herder uses a staff. They don't use a staff with cattle. They don't use a staff with hogs. They don't use a staff with anything else but a sheep. And there's a specific reason for that. Imagine if you're a shepherd standing amongst your flock, right? And you're looking out and you notice one of the ewes is about to give birth. And she does. So she gives birth, and her natural instinct is to get up and walk away from the lamb to go and find nourishment or to clean herself or whatever the case might be. So what happens is the lamb is very vulnerable. It's subject to being trampled on. It's subject to being killed by a predator. It's vulnerable. It's in a vulnerable state. So the shepherd will take his shepherd's staff. He'll walk over to the lamb and turn it upside down and gently put the crook of it underneath the front legs. And he'll pick up that lamb, take it back over to the ewe, and reintroduce it to it. And walk away. Now, it'd probably be easier if you just go pick it up with your hands and take it over to the ewe, but if you do that, you leave your scent on the lamb, and the ewe will actually reject the lamb. So there's a purpose behind the staff. And so as humans, I don't know what brought you here today or in the past, but my guess is it was a whisper of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were entangled or getting ready for danger or facing some life-threatening calamity. Something nudged you and brought you here and brought you to this community. And you know, within this community, there are several different smaller communities to engage in so you don't get lost in the crowd. There's the Blue Bus Ministry, there's the 1105 team, there's the Recharge Ministry, there's Royal Family Camps, there's Vacation Bible School, and we are so blessed that I could go on and on and on. Adult discipleship groups, small studies, the design of a shepherd's staff is for the shepherd to bring the lost into the fold. Now, here's the neat thing. That doesn't just mean Pastor Dave and I. You all can be shepherds. You all can invite maybe somebody who used to come and hasn't been attending for a while, or somebody you know who doesn't go to church. You can have that staff to be able to invite and bring them into this place where they can find and be a part of community. Now, the second part of the staff is used to create intimacy, intimate moments between the shepherd and the sheep. Now, imagine, you know, a flock of, well, there's probably a couple hundred people here today. And a shepherd, if you were sheep, has to build a relationship with each one, right? So that the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. Now, I'm not suggesting that Pastor Dave or Pastor Christopher, me, are the ones that are building that relationship. What I'm saying is that relationship is the Holy Spirit. But what the shepherd does in biblical times, he would go around sheep to sheep and basically take them and kind of use the rod or use the staff to bring them closer so that the sheep could be right here. Now, being out in the flock, it's not an intimate relationship, but being right here, close, where the sheep can hear the shepherd's voice, it becomes a very intimate relationship. And even if the sheep were to wander, all the shepherd has to do is speak, and the sheep recognizes the voice. So that's intimacy with God. The staff provides community to bring community, the sheep to community. The staff brings intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit. And finally, the staff offers comfort. In that sacred space, right, where the sheep can find comfort, I want to say this about comfort, because it's hard to use the shepherd's staff to try to explain it. So I'm going to use my son. No, my son Anthony, he's pretty outgoing, but it doesn't matter where we go. If he's in a place that he is not familiar with, or around people that he's not familiar with, he's got one place that he always goes to. It never fails. Can you guess where that place is? Right here. He can stay there for 2 minutes, 20 minutes, or 2 hours. He finds comfort in that place. He finds strength in that place until he feels the comfort to go out on his own. Folks, I'm here to say that the Holy Spirit has that sacred space for you, bringing you into an intimate, close relationship with God, a place where you can find rest, a place where you can find comfort, strength, and provision to face the world. We'd pray that you would find a place like that here in this community. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for your rod and your staff and how they provide direction, comfort, protection, inspection of our hearts and blemishes, and how we can find comfort and trust in your care. We would pray that you would bless us today as we accept the position, the sacred position under your wings. In Jesus' name, amen.